What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Movies Chat. My name is Eric Davis. Today we're going to talk about Seth MacFarlane's Ted. It's in theaters this weekend. MacFarlane, of course, is the creator of Family Guy over on Fox, the animated television program. And speaking of Family Guy, I've had like 10 people ask me the same question since I've seen Ted. Well, what if I don't like Family Guy? What if I hate Family Guy? Am I going to like it? I feel like there's a lot of Family Guy haters this week that are conflicted because people are telling them it's funny and they don't know what to do. So we're going to talk about that. Joining me to talk about that and more is Brian Collins. Brian is a writer over at Badass Digest and HorrorMovieADay.com. What's up, Brian?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. So I was on Twitter and I was talking about Ted, and I saw that you don't like Family Guy very much, but you like Ted. So let's start off there, and I'll just ask you the question. If you hate Family Guy, will you like Ted?
Well, yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't say I hate Family Guy. Like, I don't, like, loathe it. But, I mean, I like the first, like, what, two, you know, most of what it was before, you know, it got canceled the first time. And then when it came back, I don't know, it lost me. And then whenever I do, I just actually watched another episode, and I think I laughed, like, three times. You know, and I'm just like, whatever, I used to like the show, I don't know if I grew or the show just turned to shit or what. Just doesn't work for me at all anymore. And I don't care much for, like, the... You know, sort of like, well, like that time, and, you know, then they cut away to something. It just seems to me like, well, I mean, I'm not going to say anything any better than South Park said. It just seems lazy, you know?
Yeah, it seems like it's Family Guy seems like a show that just keeps reusing the same gimmick over and over again. And it's been successful.
Well, the one I just watched, they did the chicken fight again. Now, I remember that from back, again, when I used to watch it. And it's like, okay, they still do the chicken thing. And it literally went on for over 5 minutes. Like, that's just it's not, you know, I mean, the joke is done, you know, as soon as you see them start to fight, you know. And it's just like, all right, so they just burn through 5 minutes because they don't have a story to tell anymore.
Well, and that's, so. But you like Ted. So, what's interesting about Ted is you know, speaking of the chicken fight, he does something, I don't want to ruin it, but he does something similar in Ted. A lot of what they do on Family Guy is in Ted, but just in different ways and in live action. So what did you like about Ted that the film offered up that maybe someone who is like you that doesn't really care for Family Guy would find likable in Ted?
I think the main thing I sort of did... Yeah, I saw a test screening too, so I didn't know too much about it when I first saw it. I just knew it was him, and yeah, I wanted to see because Joel McHale was in it. Obligatory community plug here. I didn't realize that Ted was going to be like a known entity in the world. Like, I thought it would be like one of those things where, like, you know, like 20 years later, his teddy bear comes back to life, and nobody believes it, and he has to like hide it, and you know. You know, like, it shows up at work, and you have to, like, lie to us, you know, that sort of shit.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, it's fucking stupid. But, I, you know, right off the bat, I was not into it because, like, you know, he tells his parents, my teddy bear's alive, and then the thing, you know, walks out, and, you know, and then, you know, it's on Johnny Carson, and the whole world knows about it, and then it's, like, 20 years or whatever later where, like, no one cares anymore.
Yeah.
So kind of, like, that approach alone, I thought, made it a little more interesting than it had any right to be.
Yeah,
and
it's a great opening, you know, when he kind of when they have this opening when he comes downstairs and then you see this bear and turns into this crazy celebrity, and then MacFarlane makes the point that, you know, no matter how big you are, one day nobody's going to give a shit, and that's kind of where the film picks up, and it really is a great opening, and it kind of brings you in to the world.
Yeah, and, you know, and then that's for the humor. I mean, yeah, it's the same sort of random, irreverent humor that the show has, but for whatever reason, I think it was just more successful here. I think, you know, maybe it was the fact that it was like a – you know, the thing with Family Guy is there's no way you can ever buy that world as real. I mean, it was like, you know, talking squids and everything else, like, I mean, running around, like, all the time. Whereas here, it's just this one element, and then otherwise, the world's kind of boring and normal, you know? And he works at, like, a car rental place. She works at, I don't even need to explain where she does. She just works at the office, you know?
Yeah.
So that's sort of, like, dry, you know, regular Joe world, I think, is part of what makes it funny, because then, you know, you just throw a bear into it and let it, you know, let it rest.
Yeah, yeah. I think she, it's funny because I noticed when they have office scenes with Mila Kunis, it's every girl in the scene is hot. And I think she works as like a PR at a PR company, and that explains, because it's all hot girls at PR companies usually.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how they explain it. But I mean, yeah, the comedy does work, and there is a lot of similarity, I thought, to Family Guy. You know, I mean, especially he sounds just like Peter Griffith. The relationship between the talking animal and the human is, you know, a lot of what they use between Brian the dog and Peter and Family Guy. Yeah. It's a relationship that they're comfortable writing around. And and it does, you know, a lot of the film does kind of feel like McFarlane's just shtick, like just every kind of shtick that he's always liked writing, he's put in there. All of his 80s fantasies, all of his 90s hate, just all of his just religious stuff, just stuff he can't say on Fox or has said in the past but has had to neuter it. Like, he puts it all in here and just finds a way to smash it in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's as far as the humor, I don't think it's a, you know, a huge departure from Family Guy. And I mean, you absolutely, you know, if you can watch like 10 episodes of Family Guy and not see a single joke that you like, I doubt you'll really feel too much differently about Ted. But if you're, you know, like me, and you actually give a shit about a story being told, even if it's a, you know, a typical, I mean, basically the movie's a remake of I Love You, Man. It's not like the most original story ever. It's just that, you know, Jason Teagle's the teddy bear.
Yeah, yeah, it's not the most original story at all. I mean, we've seen the whole, you know, girlfriend is you know, kind of trying to keep the relationship alive, and girlfriend gets all pissed off, and it gets to the point where he's got to win her back, and he goes to try to win her back, and I apologize if my dog is barking in the background, but this is, I work out of my home, and this is what happens sometimes. But my dog doesn't talk, unfortunately, so I can't tell it to shut the fuck up. But, you know, there's a lot of that there. I forget what my train of thought was, but.
Yeah, but, you know, so just the fact that they are focusing on a story, and, you know, there's some deep, you know, there's some subplot, and it does, you know, it may run a little long, but just the fact that it's not, like, constantly, like, you know, cutting away just for the sake of a gag, you know what I mean? Like, everything kind of focuses on that one story, even if it's not the greatest story in the world. At least it shows that, like, he's able to do that, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Whereas Family Guy, I feel like, you know, and he can't tell us in 25 minutes, he has to waste 5 to have Peter fight a chicken, you know? It's like, is he even going to be able to handle a 90-minute narrative, 100-minute, you know? So just the fact that he's able to do that is kind of impressive.
Yeah, it is pretty impressive. And like, you know, like I said, the story isn't something that we haven't seen before, but it's fun, and there's a lot of really – there's a lot of really great jokes in here, and he can make all of these pop culture references kind of without cutting away, which I really like. There are a couple of cutaway scenes, but there aren't that many, and it works.
Yeah.
So I mean, at the end of the day, if you hate the pop culture references of Family Guy, I think you'll probably find stuff to hate in here. If what you hate about Family Guy are the cutaway scenes, that they're not in here, and so.
Well, there's another thing too, is that the live action of it, you know, sort of makes those bits funnier. Like, you know, there's a certain random actor who keeps, like, you know, people keep mentioning him as if he's like the sort of like biggest celebrity in the world type thing. And now on something on Family Guy, even if he's doing his voice, it would just be like, yeah, okay, hang on. But you actually see him there when he shows up. And it's just like, all right, the fact that they actually, like, went through this gag all the way to hire the actor to come down and do this, like, random role is kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, the same thing with the Flash Gordon stuff. You know, I mean, again, if it's animated and they're just sitting there watching Flash Gordon, who cares? But if live action and Sam Jones shows up, then holy shit, it's kind of fucking awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome. And my friend said that the film was specifically made for 35-year-old guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think 35-year-old guy, and I'm 35, and so that might be a reason why I really loved it. I could relate to all of his references because I was, you know, I was a kid at the same times, I guess, as he was growing up. And so I think, I mean, are teenagers going to love this too? Are they going to get these Flash Gordon? Because there is a lot of Flash Gordon in there. And I mean, I don't know how today's teenager is going to kind of – are they going to get that stuff? Is it still going to be funny to them?
Yeah. I mean, I think they do give enough context for Flash Gordon to kind of get that it's this cheesy movie that they love. Whether, you know, they'll get the, you know, like Ming or whatever, then, well, okay, maybe they won't get that. But, you know, there's still enough of the same, you know, it's not all pop culture humor. And I think that, you know, you don't have to be 35 to get the fact that, you know, Ted's kind of racist or, you know, like, the, you know, sort of, you know, making fun of Boston people. I mean, I'm from Boston, by the way, if you can't tell from my accent. You know, that stuff is kind of universal. You know, the whole Giovanni Ribisi subplot, I think, doesn't really, you know, require to be an age. I think it's mostly just limited to, you know, some of the references. But overall, I think, you know, the younger teens will get it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm convinced Ribisi's character is only in there so he could – so he could reference the Silence of the Lambs dance again.
Yeah.
Because he loves to do that, and it is a great moment. What is your favorite moment of the film?
I don't know. Well, I do love the party scene. I don't want to talk about it too much. It's kind of spoilery. I probably shouldn't even mention that Sam shows up. I love Joel McHale showing him around his mansion. You know, that was great. And that's the other thing, too. There's a lot of great stuff that has nothing to do with the bear, you know, Ted playing in that scene.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, some great laugh-out-loud moments there. And I actually, you know, it's no one's going to show up because of this, but I think that, you know, that makes like, you know, his name, Wahlberg and Mila Kunis actually had really good chemistry.
They
and
did.
Leave them as a couple. And, you know, they don't really, I mean, they do it in a montage to show them, like, getting together. But, you know, it worked. Maybe it's, you know, because they worked together before, but, you know, I like them. And, you know, there was enough there, again, in the confines of a rather, you know, traditional generic story. There was enough there to actually give a shit. They were like, oh, they broke up. I don't think it's back together. Push it on it, you know. But, I saw it twice, and I was laughing just as much the second time. So, I mean, it must be something there that works.
You think it's the funniest film of the year so far?
Trying to remember. I kind of was doing the horror movie day thing. I kind of miss a lot. It's up there. I mean, again, of the ones I've seen, I think it was well, it's funnier than Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me get quick up. Let me pull up.
I'm almost there. I think in terms of wide releases, I haven't seen the Draft House films.
Oh, no, Jump Street. Jump Street's probably the funniest movie. Yeah. Sorry, Ted.
Yeah.
There you go, Jump Street.
I was going to say that was my other one, is I think 21 Jump Street. But I did laugh my ass off on Ted, and I plenty of times I was wiping tears off my face. So, I mean, if it's not technically the funniest film of the year, because I also enjoyed 21 Jump Street. I thought if 21 Jump Street beats Ted, it's because it's got a better script. And it's got a better story.
Certainly funnier than American Union.
Oh, yeah. I think hands down, it's funnier than that film. And,
Than Rock of Ages, which is allegedly funnier than that, my boy.
I haven't seen Clown yet. I know a lot of people are hot on that film, from Draft House, that comes out this summer. So people are saying that's the funniest film of the year, but I haven't seen it yet. But I mean, but it's good. It's a good film. And I think to kind of circle back to our original question, if you hate Family Guy, will you like Ted? And I think it boils down to what you hate about Family Guy, because a lot of same humor, a lot of the same kind of relationship stuff is in Ted that's in Family Guy. So if you kind of hate every single thing about Family Guy, you're probably not going to like Ted. You're probably just going to go and roll your eyes and say, this is the same stupid shtick he uses on TV. But if your dislike of Family Guy is really kind of centralized around the cutaway scenes, maybe, or, you know, like you said, some of the world or some of those relationships, then I think give Ted a chance. You know, would you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Cool. All right, Brian. So we could find you over at Badass Digest, horrormovieaday.com. Is there anything that you're working on right now, either personally or professionally, that you're excited about?
No. I'm working on finding time to finish Skyrim. That's my main thing right now, and Breaking Bad.
Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Right on.
No, it's just day in, day out, just doing the horror movie reviews, and then do my weekly column for Badass, and that's about it.
Cool deal. Well, thanks very much.
Pay the bills.
I hear that. Thanks very much. I appreciate you coming on, and go see Ted this weekend. It's a funny film.
Yeah.
Cool.
Agreed.